welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're depleted in numbers today because of people having jobs and things, really, I guess. Recording this at 3 o'clock in the afternoon is probably not the best idea for guest availability, so I think we might be moving it to doing it all in one night, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, perhaps. Max Show first and then Big Show afterwards, that'd be cool. Doc would be happy because he'd be awake for those two then. Rather than fast asleep. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, what's gone on and what's been happening. Starting us off, Doc, how the devil are you, mate?
Oh, good, good. Trying to survive.
Wide awake.
Christmas. Trying to survive Christmas retail. Yeah. Oh, no.
Can't be bothered. So you've got, are people buying loads of stuff and then wanting it customized?
Yeah, and you know, right now the majority of it is what you call corporate orders, right? So, you know, you got the construction companies, they may only have like 100 employees, but they want to do like 100 bottles or coffee mugs or whatever with their company logo on it. And then you still get in the people that want to just have something created, you know, for their family members or their friends. But then strangely enough, and, you know, the maybe the most beneficial part of my job and the hardest part of my job is for some reason December brings in a lot of urns. Yeah. So I swear I've been doing a lot of urns. And it's sad because, you know, it's a sad story.
Death. Yeah, right, okay.
I guess the cool part for me is as I get to create something that's going to be a part of their family for a long time, you know, and luckily working as a paramedic for many, many years, I'm normally able to discuss these things with people in a manner that make them feel better. You know, just you do a lot of it in the Army as a paramedic. So, you know, I get to create something that makes them smile at the end. They might come in kind of sad, you know, but then they get to leave smiling. And, you know, a quick story was this week, a lady came in and she had so many questions. And I it was really weird. She wouldn't say, but the daughter was the one talking to me on the phone before they came in. I just had the impression that they really couldn't afford what they were trying to do. So I had some people rustle up and get the box made, and I did the engraving. And then when they came in to sit down and, you know, work on the artwork and finalize it, I handed it to them. And then she was like, oh, you know, how much is it? And, you know, can we break the payment up over, you know, different cards or whatever? And I was like, no. And she was like, what? I go, just take this and be happy, you know? And then it was really neat to watch the smile on the lady's face because you could really tell they came at a really horrible time for their family. So, I mean, getting to do stuff like that makes it all worth it.
You're a lovely, lovely bloke. A shit businessman, but a lovely, lovely bloke.
Yeah, that's what most people tell me.
Don't ever stop, though. Well done, mate. And also joining me, hopefully with a much more uplifting story than that to get going, Mark.
Mark, I'm just staring at the ceiling.
Howdy. Hi again, Jock. How you doing?
How's it, bro?
Good.
Can everyone hear Mark, yeah? Yeah, I think so. What have you been up to, mate?
Oh, just work. Busy week. Entertaining clients as well this week. Hence the specs, I'm a bit
Are they new?
No, not really.
They're very trendy.
Well, they're very pretty. I was like, yo, I like those.
I don't think I could get away with those.
Well, we'll do a swap later.
Yeah, I can go blind.
Yeah. Yeah, just busy you.
And you've come and fixed my glasses as well, haven't you?
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
If anyone has any doubts whether the Hoya glasses are strong, I sat on them. And they didn't break. They just bent a little bit, and I bent them back so I could use them, and Mark's come and set them up again properly for me today, which is an excuse for a curry and a beer as well as and come on the show. The Hoya specs are phenomenal. There you go. They've been ewined and they're still fine. They are strong, sturdy things, I can promise you that. The week in Apple. What's going on? What's been happening? What's not happening? What's going off? The first big rumour that's come up this week, which I thought was quite an interesting one, is that Apple is bringing out a 4-inch, yes, smaller, back to 4S size, iPhone, expected to launch in the start of the year with Apple Pay and colourful metal casings akimbo and A9 based chip, which I don't, is it the A9X that's in the iPad? I don't know, off the top of my head I can't remember, but I don't know, is that a credible rumour? I don't know if it would sell.
You know, here's the part that makes it so irritating.
It's a rumor, I know. But.
Yeah, well, no, for years and years and years, everyone's like, Apple needs to make a bigger phone. Apple needs to make a bigger phone. Apple needs a bigger phone. Finally, Apple makes the bigger phone, and they go straight to, Apple needs to make a smaller phone.
It's like, see, no, I haven't heard that. I love my bigger 6, 6 Plus, and I don't want to go back to a smaller phone. Absolutely do not want to go back to a smaller phone. I am dead happy.
Me neither.
Mark, which one have you got? You got the 6 Plus.
I've got 6.
You got 6, not 6 Plus?
Yeah.
But you're happy with that?
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah,
great size. Yeah, I just can't. I can't imagine anybody wanting to go back to a 4-inch screen. Really.
Well, no, I don't mean people. I'm talking about. So maybe you guys don't see it as much here, unless you read all of the stupid financial analyst type blogs. All of the financial analyst types that are over here, you know, making up crap in half the newspaper. They're the ones spouting off Apple needs to make a smaller phone now. And it's like, those are the same guys who were spouting off that Apple needs to make, you know, a bigger phone. And now that they're done, they want to go to a smaller phone. I think these guys just make up crap so they can hope that they're right sooner or later. And then be like, see, this is why you invest your money with us. I really don't get why they say it, but I don't see it. I don't see it going back down. Maybe for the kids. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it.
No, I don't see it myself either. I think if it was a cheapy phone, if it was replacing the 5C, then I think that probably, yeah, okay, good choice. But they don't need a high-end spec phone, but they're saying A9, which is too powerful.
I think it would have to be hugely cheaper for it to be a viable product, and I just couldn't see Apple doing that.
Yeah, I mean, is this the $99 phone? But they wouldn't put an A9 chip in that, surely, though.
So,
no.
Yeah. Similar to the 5S, 8 megapixel rear facing camera and 1.2 megapixel front facing camera. So it's effectively 5S spec, isn't it? So yeah. I don't like that. I don't think it's a rumor. I know it's a rumor. So.
No, it's weird though. It sprouts up all the time, and you got to ask yourself, like, I mean, when people write this stuff, unless they know and they're just trying to create trouble, like, you got to ask yourself, Apple has never really made things for the sake of making things. They've always made things because they have a definite place, they have a definite fit. And even then, they're really stingy about what they put out, or really careful about what they put out when and at what time.
Yeah.
And so what's the business case? Like, you covered part of it, right? Like, you know, getting down to the $99 phone. But that's never been their business in the first place. So they don't even have to follow that business case. They make the premium stuff, and then people figure out how they're going to get it. You know, they're not out there to be Chromebook or, you know, some of the other brands designed to be absolutely cheaper. I'd rather see them make a Chromebook S thing before they made a smaller phone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want this story to be true, mostly because of the fact that Ellis is going on about getting a new phone for Christmas as a Christmas present. And he has his phone for our benefit, not for his, so, which is number one reason. But it's like, I'm not buying you an iPhone unless it's too expensive. If they bring out a $99 one, I'm screwed. Logic's gone.
Do you guys have OnePlus One phones in the K, in the UK?
What's a OnePlus One phone?
They're a company that sells relatively cheap phones, but they're kind of pretty. And, excuse me, they're pretty well spec'd. Like, for instance, you'll get like 3 gigs of RAM built into the phone. They got big, long battery power. They run on Qualcomm Snapdragons. I'm going to drop a link in the chat. But they're relatively cheap, and they're designed for, you know, people that have a kind of high-end smartphone without having to go all out like a Sammy or an Apple. But they're pretty cool.
No, we don't get them. They're not here at all.
And you've got to go direct to China to get them.
Oh, are they a Chinese brandy thing?
Yeah, I think so.
They sell here in some of the department stores, or you can order direct, yeah, too. But yeah, if he's on an Android level, man, there's no better phone out there than some of the Huawei ones that I see when I'm in China. Oh my God, they're amazing.
I've got, I have right here in front of me the Huawei MiFi that I carry around, and that is mustard. Love it.
Is it mustard? I like that.
Mustard, yeah. Chat room's going off on one. Bronwyn says, I love extra large. Nokia 640 XL. Size-wise, she likes gripping big things in her hands. Thank you for bringing the tone down. Apple needs to make a thicker phone, says Muller. And Monster put a sensible comment in, iPhone 4 makes good sense. My other half thinks the iPhone 6 is too big. I think for women, probably. The as a handbag phone, the 6 is probably too much. The 5 was a good size for a handbag. And it was also good for kind of, you know, those things that went on your arm for going for a run, whereas the 6 is now massive. It looks like a suit of armour or something. So we'll have to see. WileyFox.com/Swift says, Boo, these are pretty good 3GB phones. There we go. Fair enough. Apple has shared new, ridiculously powerful Hey Siri iPhone 6S ads. Have you watched these?
No.
Oh, mate, you've got to just go to Mac Rumors and just type in Hey Siri iPhone 6S ad and you'll get them both. They're fantastic. In terms of if you were from another planet, you would come down and look at it and go, wow, Siri's brilliant. Siri doesn't even work like close like that for me. If I say Hey Siri, my phone doesn't come on. Doesn't matter whether it's plugged into anything or not. I've got it enabled. I've done the training thing and it still doesn't do Hey Siri. Siri's crap for me. Absolutely.
See, that's awful. Funny. I use Siri about 25% of all of my Apple use. I mean, my phone use, and it's flawless. Even more so from the watch, right? I think I doubled my Siri capacity once I got the watch. Because oh my god, a lot of times I have my hands in the machine, and then the message would come up on the phone, on the watch, I can kind of see it on the phone or the iPad or even the computer, notification thing. And then I can just say, hey, Siri, answer the message and spout off whatever I want to say. And it comes right back. I mean, it's pretty good. The couple things that I've only had trouble with is Hawaiian street names will mess anybody up when you're trying to give somebody directions.
Oh, yeah, no.
But you can say, hey, that's not how you pronounce that. And then teach her how to pronounce it. And then, so combination of Japanese last names and Hawaii street names screws it up.
I've tried teaching Siri where I live, and it don't work. Because Ellis has got a Windows phone, and his Windows phone, that is just, Cortana is masterful. It is absolutely brilliant. And you say, this is where I am, this is where I live. Forget about an address, this is where I live. This geolocation is where I live. And it'll do it. Whereas if you say to Siri, this place is where I live, here is my home, I am at my home, it tells you where your home is. And it says, show me my home on a map, and it shows you. And it's round the corner for me. So according to Siri, I've never been home. Based on my postcode. And it's
infuriating. You know, and I hate that because I think you're semi-right. Mine only got fixed recently, and I don't know how it got fixed because I don't remember hearing any rumors of the Apple Car coming back out unless they're starting to take input from the folks and then adjusting the maps. The targeting on maps in Hawaii in the very beginning was always off by a couple hundred feet. I mean, like way off. I mean, so a little more than what GPS is accurate for. So it would tell me I'm home 2 blocks before I got home. But somewhere in the middle of iOS 8 and now to iOS 9, like it's pretty sort of accurate. So the things that I have set to automatically turn on when I get in the garage and whatnot, it all works better now. And what's really trippy is if I'm in the car and I'm on the other side of the island and I turn around and I start heading home about a mile in, it will give me a report and says, oh, you're, 17 minutes from home with traffic, 26 minutes from home with traffic. And I'm like, what? All of a sudden it just started working like that. And I don't know how, but,
Mark, your place is in the middle of nowhere. Is it? Yeah. I mean, you've probably got you, if it gets you within half a mile, it's probably good, isn't it?
Yeah. My biggest problem with Siri is, I'll start dictating a message and I'll then think, I need to say a word which I know it's not going to pick up on. So, for example, the name of a competitor or something, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, no. Bronwyn says, whenever she asks it about me, it goes into headspin, which, while you're asking it about me, I have no idea, because there's nothing interesting about me online. Boo says 3 gig of RAM was the 3 GB. Thanks, mate. I use Siri on the watch all the time. I dictate and use Siri on my phone a lot, and it's dynamite, says Lee on the Apple TV. Very rarely have any issues. I agree the Apple TV is excellent. You know, that's really good as long as you're looking for movies, because it doesn't do anything else at the moment. But on the watch, it's that I regularly get it where it just looks at me. It's like, you're going to say something or what? I've freaking spoken. For Christ's sake. But just doesn't. Nothing.
I think a lot of it has to do with, I had, I guess before Siri came out, I had tons of practice because I'm a huge fan and huge user of Dragon Dictate. So I've been dictating to devices for maybe longer than I should have. It probably explains why I had thumb type. And I think the other thing is, for Mark, what you do is you make contacts with your competitor's name in it. And then when you're not asking her something important, you say, hey, send a message to, I don't know, Progressive Optics, right? That's the name of a company here. And then she'll be like, I don't know what the hell Progressive Optics is. And you can say, well, this is how you pronounce this, and this is how you pronounce that. And she'll, okay, I remember that. And now, forevermore, when you go to ask it something complicated, it knows exactly what you're asking for. It knows exactly what you're saying, because it's kind of pulling it out of your context. And everyone goes, well, that's too much training. I go, not really, because, like, for addresses and names, you already have them in your contacts. That's the only thing it ever really hiccup on, because those are just hard.
Well, especially, you're improving your result as well, though, aren't you? So it's...
Yeah. Well, see, that's what Dragon Dictate. When people say, I tried that and it doesn't work, you know, all you do is you grab a stack of Word documents based off of what it is that you do, and you say, hey, read this folder. And within about 4 minutes... it comes back and it goes, all right, cool. And now when you talk to it, it knows exactly what you're saying, because it has read the things that you speak about. So if you were a reporter for football and you just threw articles at it, you know, from your RSS feed, and you know, told it to save those out as text files, and you just told it to read it. When you went on and you started talking about doing in the 4-3-4 or, you know, Louis Van Gaal and whatever, it would know exactly what you're talking about, because it read those words, and so it's able to do so.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of those things, like, if you can get it to that level, then that's great, but it just misses out a lot. Lee G's taking the piss out of me in the chat, and saying it doesn't do Brummy clearly. Yeah. Sod off. Do you find the performance good, or it's really patchy, isn't it?
Siri? It's great at home if I'm going to set a timer, if I'm cooking.
Is that when it's on the Wi-Fi?
On the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. I think that's a big factor, isn't it? What your connection's like as well.
Do you have the thing turned on? What you call that thing? Do you have the dictionary turned on in your phone where it downloads a like 700 meg dictionary into your phone?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Oh, man. All right.
Oh, wait, I want to double check, because I know for a fact that's in the computer, but let me make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Now you've said that, it rings a bell, actually, but I'm not sure whether I have or not. Where did you get it in settings?
I'm looking. Where the hell is that woman at? Okay, hey Siri, voice feedback, my info, language, blah, blah. Maybe that's only on the computer.
Yeah, no, that sounds more familiar. My connection feed keeps freezing and restarting. Is that the same for anyone else, or are you all right?
Yeah, no, same for me. I just turned it off. I just said screw it.
Our feed is freezing and restarting. No? Okay. Never mind. The local recording's fine. You can always watch later. iPhone remains Flickr's most popular camera. 42% of photos posted on Flickr currently are... iPhone, based on the EXIF data that they've gathered. Canon is second. And Nikon is a distant third, with only 16% of photos posted on Flickr being on a Nikon.
Well, you know, what's funny is, I don't know about how that report comes out, but if you just do it on Google, right, Google gives you these new, like, little peeled out results before you get to the regular SERPs and search engine results page.
Right.
Sorry for using words. It says Apple number one, Samsung number two, Canon number three, Nikon number four. So I think that Canon and the Samsung one might be a little tight, so they're probably flipping back and forth. But mine says updates as of 15 hours ago.
2015 year in review. It's the Flickr's own published year in review.
It should be. Well, there must have been a big surge in Samsung phones in the last couple of weeks.
Brandon, yeah, Flickr ranking head of Samsung, yeah. Canon, Nikon, Sony, and Motorola, and LG. iPhones have been the most popular smartphone cameras on Flickr for several years now, which is largely unsurprising since DSLRs and some point-and-shoot cameras cannot be carried around as easily. I think there's a watershed really occurred in the last I think after the 5. I don't think it was the 5. I think it was like it was on the tilting point of the iPhone photos that were coming out of the 5 were good enough to do and use and create something even commercially with that. With the 6 now, they're definitely worth it in terms of, you know, the width that you can get. Now you've got those little additional lenses that you can clip on, an holo clip and that kind of stuff, which is completely transformed it. And also, I mean, the Windows phone, the 920, the one I've got, 1020, the one I've got, that's had, that just completely was a game changer and actually set the market a lot better. So I think there's iPhone photos up there. It's not just, I mean, go back a year, just before a year, and it was probably mostly pictures of the kids and utter crap in really badly taken holiday photos. Yeah, there was loads up there, but a lot of them were turds. And now they're not. The quality of the photos is significantly better out of iPhone. I've got a customer who's just taken one of my pictures and used it on a full page ad in a magazine. I took it off my iPhone. Don't tell him.
All right, so you ready for the twist in this story?
Oh, come on, Doc. You Flickr hater.
No, I love Flickr, actually. Here's a twist in the story that probably wasn't mentioned anywhere, but if it was, then I'll take it back.
All right.
Okay, so the iPhone, you take these photos, and a lot of these photos from the iPhone that ended up on Flickr are coming from Instagram. Why? Because I do it. Every single Instagram I've ever taken, I've always pressed the Flickr button. So 6,000 pictures into it, or maybe more. I got to be close to 10,000 by this point. When you press the button, it automatically lands on Flickr. Every once in a while, I get a Flickr notification that says XYZ on Flickr liked your photo, and I almost forget that I sent it up there. 7,084 as of today. The Nikon D has built-in Wi-Fi, so it automatically uploads to Flickr. The Canon EOS 70 that they show in the picture does not. That requires said person to first migrate the images in the Lightroom or Photos or Aperture or Picasa or whatever the hell you use, and then press a button to send them up to Flickr. So that actually takes work. Whereas the first two, the iPhone and the Nikon and the Samsung, they don't. You press picture, you take the picture, you put the phone down or the camera down, and it uploads it to Flickr. So there's probably more in some of these Canons that never get sent up. You know what I mean? And there's probably even more in some of the other cameras that are in that list that just never get sent up because they get sent up once in a while when someone presses go, okay, I'm going to upload these pictures, or they forget.
So you're saying it's a mindless conveyor belt from the iPhone up to Flickr?
Yeah. And if you use Instagram, never look at it again. If you use camera upload, which I use for Dropbox and for Amazon, but not for Flickr, because I know my images on Flickr are going through Instagram. But you know what I'm saying?
So I haven't got Instagram, so I'm not on Instagram.
Okay. So every photo I ever take with my iPhone automatically gets sent to iCloud, Dropbox, and Amazon. Why? Because I'm paranoid. I like my crap backed up. But then everything I post on Instagram automatically gets sent to Flickr, Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. So I can see how there'll be a lot of iPhone photos because people who aren't even the photography types, but say they kept their Flickr account around, every time you Instagram, you press a button, it's back in the thing up there.
Have you got a Flickr account, Mark?
Nope.
No, not everyone.
Nor Instagram.
Oh, good man. That's it. Us Luddites got to stick together. I've got a Flickr account, but we used to have a Flickr group, and we used to set monthly assignments for that. And through the photo show, and I'm sad to say that I haven't. We haven't done that for a very long time. We ought to restart. In fact, it goes back. It was Bagel Tech photo group. So I think we should restart that. We should restart the BTN photo grouping.
We used to do a thing called Flickr Fridays twice a month here where we would go out with all the Flickr people in Hawaii and we walk around and take photos. And we picked various areas of the island, and it was so much fun, and all of a sudden it just died off. And
I didn't do it when it was only a monthly competition. There's no way I'm going to do it on a daily, a weekly rather. Christ. Bad enough trying to get the shows done. I don't even do the photo show anymore, and that's sad, actually. I should do it, and I'd love to do it, but it's just time. Just time. I kind of have a Flickr account by way of my Yahoo account, says Bronwyn. That might all go soon anyway. Because of Yahoo being sold. Swift has become open source now. I thought they were always going to do that, weren't they? But apparently it wasn't open source, but now it is completely open source. The source code is out there if you'd like it. How many developers are using Swift, do you think?
Oh, a lot.
You think a fair few have moved over to it? It's not a requirement, though, is it? You can still do it in any of the Objective-C stuff. So. I don't know. And MacBook's top consumer report survey in reliability and customer satisfaction. Consumer report. I think that was a good story, actually, because I think if you know how to troubleshoot a few basic problems on your Mac, I think you almost never go back to the App Store and the Apple Store and see a genius. Unless it's a physical hardware failure, the backlight's gone, the lead's loose, the wireless has stopped working, all that kind of stuff. They are hugely reliable, providing you can sit and tweak the software to do what you want. I've never had any problems other than hardware failures. So it was saying also, though, that Windows-based notebooks from Acer, Lenovo, Samsung, and other OEMs, there was a 7% failure rate on MacBook Airs, and a slightly higher failure on MacBook Pros at 9%, but some of the failure rates of Acer, Lenovo, Toshiba, Dell, and Asus were at 19%.
That's crazy.
If you use a Windows machine for more than 20 hours a week, the average of Windows systems, you have a higher break rate. Apple's user reports using their machines an average of 23 hours a week with 15% more hours, fewer breakdowns. What's not to like? And I totally agree. I think it's good. I think the only problem you've got is if the software's going wrong and you don't know what you're doing, then I think you're in trouble. And the software doesn't. I mean, I've had real problems with the Wi-Fi at home. I've ended up taking my Airport Extreme out this week and just putting a blank router in and starting up the Virgin service, because it's sucky. The Airport Extreme there completely sucks. It's awful. I hate it.
You know what's weird is this. I think there's a lot of the stuff that is just easy to do, so even when it goes wrong, it's easy to sort of reset. Like, ever since Yosemite came out, I know a lot of my friends call me and say, hey, every time I open my computer, it doesn't automatically reconnect to the Wi-Fi. I have to press the snow code. I go, yeah, that's kind of common right now with the certain, like, 2012s and 2013 MacBook Pros, but just press the snow code and jump back on. And they go, okay, yeah, I was just wondering if it was something that might go away. I go, yeah, an update will probably fix it. And, of course, right after about four people asked me that question, mine started doing the same thing. It's pain in the ass, but it's not that difficult. But if you ever troubleshot network connection stuff on a Windows machine, it's a pain in the butt. And it's just one of the most common things you do on your computer. So I can see where people could get frustrated. But also, the Windows machine comes loaded a lot of times with these weird bloatware and these weird software. And so they just don't do what people want them to do anyway. So people get mad at the software. There's nothing actually wrong with the machine, but they're using a software that's not like all the way there. Because it's one of those, let me let you like it, and then you buy it. And I'm kind of glad Apple stopped doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have less weird frustrations that don't sort of need to be there because you just don't put it there in the first place.
Yeah, no. You got MacBook Pro, Mark?
I'm running a Mac Mini.
All right.
The only issue I've ever had, previous Mac Mini, it just wouldn't pick Wi-Fi up. Couldn't fix it. I did a fresh install and it was fine, and that's the only issue I've ever had in probably about 7 years of
they've had massive suckage issues with Wi-Fi over the last year, I would say. Mm-hmm. And it went a bit better after El Capitan came out, but Yosemite was horrible, and it was the mode of streaming service that they were using for the Wi-Fi code. Yep. But I found deleting the if you just go into internet and delete the physical connection, and then it reinstalls it on a reboot, and it comes back pretty well then sometimes. But it never lasted. I hated it.
Mark, actually, what we should tell people at the Apple Store, if you go into your network settings, there's one of the things that almost nobody pays attention to. At the very top of the bar, underneath the word network, there's a word location, and most people have it set for automatic. All you do is drop down on that, and you click on edit locations, and you add a new location, and you can call it like BTN Studios or the Loo or whatever, just something different, and then you say done, and you log in, log back out, and it basically reprofiles all the network connections and reconnects everything up. And that was the equivalent of the old school method of going into preferences and deleting all the network preferences and throwing away all the keks and then rebooting it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's useful. Does that still work?
Yep.
Yeah, good one.
Super easy way to do it.
Excellent.
See, all of that genius training didn't go to waste.
The chat room's stopped complaining about internet connections now. But Rob's has just gone pop, he says, and Mullerbike is having trouble with the feed again. But I don't know whether he's on his laptop or whether he's out shopping with his wife, but... Virgin Media is reporting an error at my end, says Rob, and Boo's watching it and saying, nope, all perfect. So I've no idea what's going on. No idea. Apple announces 2015 Hour of Code workshop for students. It's announced that once again, it'll be running Hour of Code from December 7th to the 13th, hosting free workshops and special events for kids aged 6 and up at Apple retail stores throughout the US and the world. Now, Doc, did you ever have anything to do with this kind of stuff? Because I know the summer clubs, we tried to get Ellis into one, and it was just like, oh, I am not fighting my way over to Solihull every morning at 9 o'clock, and I can't let him go on his own on the bus or anything like that. But, I mean, I'd love to get Ellis into one of these kind of things. Are they any good, though?
Oh, my God, they're amazing. When I was at the store, we didn't have the coding events, but we had Apple Camp, and every summer and every Christmas break, we would have Apple Camp. And as a genius, because I was really, really into video, they would ask me to teach the video class from time to time. And that was so much fun. Like, in the beginning, we didn't have the iDevices. So we sent the kids around with these small Sony Handycam camcorders. And so they would run around the store and they would do these little reports or whatnot. And we'd come in and we'd plug it into the iMac with a FireWire cable. And the kids would sit down and build their story and put it all together. And I'm like, man, you guys are better than half the crap that's on YouTube at the moment. So it was always fun. It was always interesting. And it's always cool to see, like, the kids really get into it. And what they used to do also, which I thought was really cool, is they would give the kids, like, a little swag thing. So you had a Yale t-shirt that said Apple Camp. And then they would give patches. When you would learn how to, you know, properly run an iPod, you'd get an iPod patch. When you learn how to do video, you get a video patch. When you learn how to, like, surf the web and set bookmarks and help your parents, like, solve simple internet issues. Like, they would literally teach that kind of stuff. And it was super cool.
So this code stuff, presumably they're going to be teaching them Swift or basic code concepts? Is it going to be kind of like Khan Academy kind of level or...?
No, so normally 7 through 13, I think they get into some basic stack, you know, front-end stack. I want to call it LAMP, or in the Apple world, MAMP, which is the Macintosh, Apache, MSQL, and PHP. So they learn some really, really basic stuff there. And I think they get into some simple Xcode programming.
That's pretty cool. I'd love to send Ellis to it, but it means one of us has got to get there. It's 6 p.m.
Well, you know, last year they had the president. They pulled him in for one of the shops, and they sat down and they made him, you know, build a web page and whatever. And everybody was writing these stories about, look, even to get the thing kicked off, code.org, you know, had President Obama writing code. And, you know, he's going on, and he was like, man, this is cool. He didn't even know he could do what he could do, right? So as he sat down, he's like, this is amazing. And he's basically at a table with a bunch of, like, 10-year-old kids. And at the end, all of the nerds just freaked out. HTML is a markup language. It's not code. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, shut up. That wasn't the point, stupid. Let it go. But it was super funny how heated people got. Kind of hilarious.
Yeah, no. I really want to send Ellis to that, but it's just like I've got to turn up with Ellis at 6 p.m. every night.
Bro, code.org is a great place to send him. And then there's a lot of great online stuff. where he can do it all from home. And then, and again, this is why
I've given him links, really, but you know, I've filled the trough, but the horse hasn't gone and drunk yet.
What about the Minecraft programming stuff that's on code.org? Have you seen that?
No, that would probably get him into it.
Oh, come on, son. It's on there. If you go to code.org, they have an hour of code for every student. They're going to do Minecraft. Let me send you the link. That was Star Wars, not Minecraft.
Brilliant. Hold on. No, I'll give him a go of that because he loves his Minecraft. And I've tried to use Redstone to just basically understand binary. You know, it's off, it's on. So you make an AND or an OR gate, and that's all that computers are doing, mate. And he's, oh, right, okay. So I think Redstone's really good for teaching electrical flow and that kind of stuff.
Really, give him that link right there, code.org/MC.
Right, it'll be on that tonight.
You find something that he's into, which is kind of cool, then he'll figure it out. And I remember playing with one of my friend's kids, like teaching them the Lego stuff, which was cool. That was a lot of fun. That's something that your Uncle Jeffrey guys can help him out with, because you get to make your robot do it stuff. I always played with the one that's kind of a crane mechanism. Mm-hmm. But that was super, super interesting. That was actually more interesting for me than I thought it was going to be. but yeah, code.org, and there's a bunch of other stuff out there. Even Linda has some stuff. It'll be great. And once he gets into it, trust me, he'll be stuck.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We've got some great stuff coming up. If you stick around and listen till when we get to the cool thingies, we've got a fantastic offer from MacPaw, which is just going to be awesome. And it's for BTN listeners only. Only you. And it's a lovely, lovely thing from them. And also, stick around and listen to us over the Christmas period, because our Christmas shows are going to be on the 17th and 18th of December. That'll be the last two shows we do up until the new year. Come along and have a listen to those, because the wonderful people at MacFun have got some up for BT listeners as well again. Just some awesome, awesome deals. If you remember, they gave away Focus to every BTN listener that wanted it. All you had to do was write in and get your code, and they'd email it to you. Well, I know lots of people actually signed up for that, and it was really well received. And they went back and ended up buying Intensify, another Tonality, and those kind of things. So stick around. We do MacPaw today, which will be awesome. You've only got 10 days on that offer, though, so get yourselves out there. Don't, if you're catching up on your podcast listening here and you're 2 weeks from now, bad luck. But stick around. We've got MacPaw today, and then MacFun are going to be in a couple of weeks' time. So great, great presents for Christmas. Superb. Last story, Apple Watch sales estimated at 3.9 million in the third quarter. Latest data from IDC says 3.9 million watches worldwide in one quarter. That's a lot of watches.
Yeah, then there was also another story this week about the people who have put it down and like what they put it down for. And it's funny that most of the people that are interviewed were tech people. So I'm like, I think the general population that got their Apple Watch, most people are still using it. Most people still love it. It is mind-blowing to me. I don't think I can go back to not having it, and I haven't even really used it probably to its fullest potential, but just being able to answer messages real quick, or when you're driving, being able to have it tap when you're supposed to turn versus have the speaker blast it out when you're, because I'm grooving, I'm listening to music, right? And then when she used to come through the speaker, it would always be way too loud compared to what I'm listening to the music at. Yeah. And it was just like having your old lady yell at you, turn left. And so now you turn that crap off. The watch can just tap you on the wrist. Patrice's article about, like, you know, how he is 7 months into it and what it's good for. I think that's,
yeah, Patrice, you know, did a great awesome article story on British Tech Network, didn't he? The Apple Watch 7 months on. You just posted it there in the chat room. That was a really good article. Really, really good about how it's changed his life and what he uses it for, what his daily routine is. And he uses it more, he says, than that article actually says. But it really is. What do you use yours for, Mark? What's the?
I need you boys to talk me out of not selling mine.
You're joking. Why? What's up?
Oh, it's just the shine's wearing off, really, for me. I use it for bits and pieces, but nothing really that's very meaningful. So I'll set a timer. I will triage SMS and email that comes through. It gives me an opportunity to maybe reply to the more important ones more quickly. After that,
So, I mean, you're a fit bugger, so don't you use it for exercise-y stuff? And
yeah, I do, but I feel it's a compromise versus a dedicated fitness tracker. Strava pushed out an update this week. It's got it can use the heart rate sensor. You can't get it to work.
Okay.
And the only reason I've still got it is I ordered Docs, is it 716 straps?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They look the strap. Beautiful. I'm hoping I fall in love again with it when that comes. But
That's done it for me. I don't know if you can see that in my camera, but
hang on a second.
I've been rocking this leather jammy for a little up a little higher. I've been rocking this leather jammy since I first got it.
It's lovely.
And my watch is so freaking comfortable. This kind of taps my computer from time to time, but doesn't really bother me too much. But it is so bleeding comfortable at this point. And I just love it. I'm like, man, for how cheap this is, Apple, man, you should have made a deal with these cats because this band is so nice.
So what do you use your watch for?
All right. So my primary thing, you know me, I'm always on a plane. As a matter of fact, I'm on a plane in a couple of days. In and out of the airport, bruh, can't be faded. Like, there's nothing better than, A, freaking out people at the airport, but just, you know, checking in, checking out, whatever, that's great. When you're traveling, I have the, what you call that thing? Tripcase is an application that I use that tells me all kinds of things about the place I'm going, places I need to be, things like that. So it's wonderful that. It's always coming on, giving me all the various reminders to the social networks that I need to stay on. So yeah, the notifications thing is a little bit big because to me, triaging those notifications gives me back maybe half an hour to 45 minutes a day. I'm able to just ignore crap that needs to be ignored and answer crap that needs to be answered. One of the things that goes off all day long is the Slack room. If you don't know about the Slack room, Ewan will tell you about it later in the show. I get hundreds of those every single day. Ewan said this. Lee said this, Patrice said that, you know, so every once in a while I'll chime in with a snarky ass American comment. Paying for things. I'm almost at the point where I don't even go to places that don't have Apple Pay. Like, that is legit. It's super, super legit. And people are starting to get used to it now. And the Apple Pay product for Square and PayPal, for, you know, small business owners is slowly starting to work its way through the country. So, you know, you can even go to some cafes and they got Apple Pay hookup. You know, you just roll in, tap your watch, pay, walk out. You know, and I know you guys are fighting with banks over there, so maybe that part hasn't sank in yet. But the paying for things, ebb and flow through airports, movie tickets straight to the watch. Like, yeah, it's awesome. It's hard to describe. Like, I'm sure I'm missing things that I do every day, and I don't even think about it now because they're almost muscle memory.
Yeah, so now I use mine. One of the things that's quite interesting is if you read Patrice's article, one of the things he doesn't mention there is that he ever uses it to tell the time. And I think I probably used it to tell the time six times, seven times. I still fish my watch out, my phone out of my pocket to look at the time, which is kind of stupid. But I use my watch loads for just seeing the Slack notifications, seeing the Twitter notifications, seeing email notifications, skimming through it, like you said, Mark. And also then, I love it because if I'm out on a work site, the last thing I want to do is start pulling my phone in and out of my pocket. Because if I miss my pocket and it goes on the stone or the concrete, you know, it's wiping out my phone. It's bad enough it's got a couple of chips as it has. So it's great if I get a call from someone. Do I want to see it? Don't I want to see it? It's wonderful. I don't start a lot of apps, I have to say. I use Timer incessantly, and I use the banking app on it pretty regularly. And I've enjoyed a couple of things in Numerous that you put me onto, but the Numerous is kind of like, actually, there's only a couple that come up. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Near-Earth objects.
Yeah.
At any one time. That scared the
crap
out of me.
It's novelty, really, isn't it?
It is. But then I was like, okay, I don't look at that as much anymore.
Yeah.
It's notifications actually is what brings the watch to life, I think.
I think if I had Apple Pay, that would add a lot, but I've not got access to that, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I still haven't either. But it's interesting what you say, Mark, about it being a kind of half-hearted thing of fitness, because actually you're going to go, well, there can't be anything outselling the Apple Watch. Yes, there is. The Fitbit sells 4.7 million units a quarter. So and the Fitbit is a dedicated super.
Yeah, my wife's duper, got the.
Even Fitbit, though they're getting rid of it, aren't they?
She got the Fitbit Charge HR, and the app for it is awesome, really awesome.
Yeah.
As a dedicated fitness device, and you can get notifications on it. Granted, not the same qualities with the Apple Watch. But
no, I mean, the thing is, when the Apple Watch was imminent, literally the week before, Nokia announced that they were going to walk away from the Fitbit and they were throwing everything into the Apple Watch. And yet, it doesn't seem that people are going wholesale to the Apple Watch and dumping the Fitbit.
No.
So you know what I'm going to do? Maybe if I can get one in time, since I'm about to do the travel thing, where you can't help but walk everywhere. Because I don't know if you guys ever had the opportunity to go to Las Vegas. It's a desert mirage, right? So you look at this hotel and it's like, yeah, it's right there. We can walk. Never mind. We need a cab. And you start walking and it's 2 miles and you're not even there yet. It's because it's just flat. Everything is flat and everything is so big. It's hard to tell distances. And it would be kind of neat if I can get one and rock one on each wrist and do a compare and contrast.
Do you think it would go loopy?
I don't know. I wonder.
The other one.
I'm really curious of that. But man, like, I think you hit on something in your conversation that was really important. I don't find myself launching too many apps yet. And I know that since the update came through, there's probably some really, really wicked apps out there I just haven't put on. But I kind of like have the things that I really, really need are set up in Glances. And I use Glances religiously. Like Dark Sky,
weather.
I'm always using Dark Sky. When I go out to shoot photos, I don't know if you watch my Instagram feed, I like to take a lot of sunset photos. So I'm forever double checking when the sun's going to be here and there and whatnot. And I also use it to trigger my camera. So I'll set my camera up on a tripod and then I'll go back and sit somewhere and I'll press a button and it triggers the camera. And so, I mean, that kind of stuff is cool.
If they did something that you could have where you could put it onto a hot shoe and trigger your camera, that would be cool.
I believe that does exist.
Oh, of course it does. I'm just a moron.
Camera range. Range camera.
As soon as I finished saying that, I thought I'm going to get told that that's already there and I'm a Luddite.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's wicked. And it's only going to get better. We've had the real operating system for 2 months now. So it's only going to get better.
I'll definitely hang on to it, I think, till January.
You got one more month then. You better stop dicking around.
I got a boys' ski trip coming up, and there's 9 of us.
Oh, no, hang on. You said, what was the app you were going to use?
Zello. It's a push-to-talk walkie-talkie app, so I just thought it'd be really cool if we get split up. It'd be easy. Everybody gets the message at the same time.
But there
is an Apple Watch app, so I think that will be a lot easier.
Mark, we've been doing that with Voxer since Apple Watch wasn't all the way Apple Watch. Voxer is awesome. Yeah, we have a group from Macworld eons ago. How I even got to know Shads and Ewan and all those guys is from the little Macworld Voxer group that we have that we all chat in.
I don't know that one.
Voxer is the oldest PTT one out. It's about 5 years in the bake. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, so there's an option there to
has that got Apple Watch dock as well?
Yeah, that was like one of the first apps for Apple Watch even before it was real. By real, I mean, you know, using the Apple Watch, what you call it, you know, operating system.
Yeah.
Deepan saying, what watch would you replace your Apple Watch with, or would you just go back to bare wrist?
Well, I think part of my issue is that I feel I'm getting limited benefit, limited functionality from it, and I'm compromising in style versus my nice Tag Heuer.
Yeah.
So if I got rid of it, I would go probably just go back to yeah.
I've still got my Tag, but it needs a battery. It has done for the last year.
And also some of the new Android Wear watches, styling wise, look really, really nice. Is it the Moto G2?
Is that the round one?
Yeah.
Andy Anatko really, it's one of those, he really rates it. Rates the round display, says it's gorgeous. Chat room saying Apple Pay on mine is used a lot too. And Runtastic, he says, is good, says Lee.
I use MapMyFitness. I just think I hated Strava. Sorry. I tried it for like 2 months and I couldn't, it didn't function as good as MapMyFitness or Runkeeper.
See, the other thing there that Lee's put down is about sporting notifications. And I never even think about doing that. And of course that would be fantastic if, you know, if I was away and Wasps were playing and they did a, you know, tell me when Wasps score. That would be superb.
Yeah.
Well, Wheaters was telling me today he's got an if this then that for home. And if Patriots are playing, when they score a touchdown, his house lights flash blue.
Yeah, dude, you know what's funny? My lights, the hue, on the first pitch of a Red Sox game, they turn on and they flash red. And then if for some reason, I don't know, I never have this happen, but if for some reason I were to miss a kickoff for a Manchester game, they alternate between red and yellow until I can come in and tap on I have a tap on the desk. Yeah. And I tap on it, and then I'm ready. Because sometimes I'm doing things, and I know kickoff is coming, especially during Champions League time, because they always start like at 5 or 15 or some weird-ass time. So I'm running around the house trying to get last-minute things done, because once footy stops, I'm like, don't answer the phone, don't scratch your ass, don't do anything until halftime. And then so having a light flick, and then the last thing I have it do is when the going to rain, because Hawaii will sneak up on you real quick. Like the minute it starts raining, I get like a little purple thing and it goes away. And I also do important email notifications. So I have a couple clients that pay well. And when they ask you to come, you just go. And then so the lights flicker accordingly when something lands in my VIP mailbox.
Yeah, Runtastic is getting up. And also, I've lost it now. Bugger. It was there was another one put on here. Lee says that his favourite football app is Forza Football. He sits the Spurs, and Map My Fitness is the choice for deep man.
Yep, that's the best one out. I've tried every single one of them. I'm still fat, but it's the best one out.
Yeah, I've tried them out. I don't do any exercise, but you know, the apps are cool.
I think I ride my bike religiously, but Map My Fitness used to be like Map My Fitness, Map My Run, Map My Ride, Map My Walk. Like, it was all these different ones. And if you use the Master app, you still can connect when they all intertwined. But the reason why that's the best one over, like, Strava and some of the other ones is it intertwines really, really well when you had a Fitbit and an Apple phone. I'm sorry, iPhone, right? Because before, you used to get all the things would add together. They start freaking out all your different connections and your timings. This one was really, really set up a nice way that it wouldn't screw up your timings, and it actually understands some of your other exercises that the other ones didn't. So if you're lifting weights or swimming or whatever, it knew how to keep up with that. And it's made by Under Armour, so it has tons of money, where the other guys are startups that wish they had money.
Yeah. Lee says he had his lights flash red, white and blue every time we won a gold medal during the 2012 Olympics via the ESPN channel. Nice. Wheaters has got me started on If This Then That today, and I'm going to sit and have a play with it when I get a chance. The thing I think, though, is it's like trying to work out in your own mind when you think you get into a way, you need to get into a way of thinking and think, oh, I could do an If This Then That with this. I could get this end if I wanted to. And I think my problem is I'll sit there for a long time and I just go, oh, you know, I'd realise afterwards I could have done something. I tell you what I did
you
last
got,
week.
You got Wemo?
I got Wemo, yeah.
Yeah, that's where you're going to win.
Well, no, so last weekend, pulled a blinder, set I took me Insight Switch home, and I set the slow cooker up in the house, because we were away last weekend for a birthday gift that I had and hadn't used. And we stayed a night in a hotel, and Sharon said, what should we have on Sunday? I'm like, we could do a slow cooker. She said, yeah, but how are we going to do that? I said, we get a frozen joint of meat, we stick it in the slow cooker, and then I switch it on from the hotel room on Sunday morning using my Insight Switch. She's like, what? If I talk about tech, Sharon's just like glazes over. But set it up, 10 o'clock, switched on the phone, press the button, bang, on it comes, get the green light, it's definitely cooking. Got home, place smelled absolutely fantastic with this leg of lamb in the slow cooker, and I put it in frozen on Saturday morning, so it defrosted during Saturday and Saturday night, and then it was cooking, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And like even Sharon said that was really cool. So, and if I got this and that, then I could have just set it up beforehand, couldn't I? I'm going to have a play with it. I'm going to have a definite play with it. It's something.
Most of the pre-cooked stuff on this is If This Then That will do a lot of what you need. But once you start using a couple of the pre-cooked stuff, you will go, oh, my God, I could do that. Oh, my God, I could do that. And you'll really start to just love it.
Yeah, and then when you start linking recipes together, that's got to be cool. I can see that the only thing I could see in Wheater's mind was he's like, I've started a monster here because he's going to try and do things he's not supposed to do and I'm going to end up being the support call. So it's coming. It's coming, I promise you. This podcast and all is brought to you by UK2. They're fantastic. They've had Black Friday deals and Cyber Monday deals all week, so you can't do better than that. And we're back to 20% thanks to Lee, who tweeted out this morning and said, thanks to UK2 and British Tech because I got 20% off the renewal of my domain, not just even the new ones. So if you renew your domains, you still get the offer codes. If you want to go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, you'll see the offer codes there for UK2. And even if you just want to just sign into your account, you're not buying anything at UK2, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and they'll know that you're a returning customer from BTN and we get the kudos. Thank you very much for their support. We'd be lost without them. And also in States, 100TB.com, are an affiliate firm of UK2. Check out their dedicated servers because they're really, really good. You're watching one this minute if you're on live. Now then, we've got a really special, special offer and it's BTN listeners only. Okay? So, MacPort make Clean My Mac. Now, if you own a Mac, you've got to A, subscribe to Screencasts Online, or you're a numpty, and B, listen to the MacCast, even though he's not turned up today. I don't know where he is. And C, you've got to have Clean My Mac for all your Macs. I own a 5-site license for all of the Macs that I actively use. It's got Clean My Mac on it. And you've got Clean My Mac 3 is out at the moment. There is an upgrade this week, which is no longer embargoed, where it will now do Clean My Photos within Clean My Mac 3 as well. And it's a free upgrade if you buy Clean My Mac 3. You can't do it on 2, you've got to buy 3. And you think, well, okay, I've got an upgrade path here I want to go on, and I'd like to go from 2 to 3, but 2 does pretty well, and you know, I don't want to make the leap. Make the leap, because I've got 3, it's well worth it. You get the photos thingy with that now as well as, but also, if you go to macport.com/BTN, everything, and I mean everything in their store, is 30% off for BTN listeners. So if you want to give a gift of a piece of software to someone, you can do that. If you want to get something for yourself and treat yourself because you think you're well worth it and because actually, you know, I'm on 2 and I should have 3, I'm going to go for it now. Go to macport.com/BTN and all of the stuff that's in there, Hyder 2, Clean My Drive, all of that stuff is 30% off for BTN listeners. It's only going to be for the next 10 days. So you're going to have to get going, I'm afraid. If you're catching up on your podcast, sorry you missed it. But don't worry, listen in a couple of weeks and you'll get the one for Mac Fun. But there you go. Thank you so much to Julia at MacPort who set that up for us. It is an exclusive offer. There is nothing coming back from it. It is just BTN listeners only. So go and check it out. MacPort.com/BTN. Thank you, Julia. Right.
Nice.
Have we got a cool thing? Start us off, Doc.
Okay, let me recopy this link. This is a little specific, but it is amazing. And even if you're just starting out, you're just kind of goofing off and you want to play, you can check out their free trial and install it into Illustrator, and it takes the frustration out of Adobe Illustrator. This is a company, oddly enough, out of the UK. They are from Hereford. I knew you was going to say something like that.
Hereford, yeah. Well, no, it's okay. I get that. Hereford. It's the one that where the SAS are, and Robert De Niro says it in a film called Ronin.
And yeah, that's right. Holy crap, that's like my favorite flick.
And he says Hereford as well.
I'm like, mate, maybe that's where I get it from. Okay, cool.
The thing is, like, Sean Bean's character, he's being flustered because he doesn't know, you know, what's the colour of the boathouse at Hereford? What's the colour of the boathouse? And he's like, well, you clearly don't know because if you'd been to Hereford, you'd know that it's not called Hereford. Shut off.
So now I can do the rest of my views, you know? Anyway, this thing is Astute Graphics. They have a bunch of plugins designed for Illustrator to take the stress out of Illustrator. And I'm a hardcore Creative Cloud guy. Still highly recommend the service if you want to play, but this stuff is amazing. They've taken some of the most difficult things in Illustrator and even some of the everyday easy stuff in Illustrator and made them even better by using their plugins. So for instance, in like this, you'll see the bestseller plugin is called Vector Scribe, And vector scribe does things like allow you to pick up a line anywhere in the line without having to find a stupid target at the end and just drag it around and move it all over. And if you do any Illustrator work, go into this site, look at some of their initial YouTube videos for each of the plugins. And if you can walk away from here without buying a plugin, yeah, you're probably not having as much fun in Illustrator as you think you are. Because this is amazing. It is a huge time saver. And I would really love to know what these guys do for brain power, because I need to, it takes crazy amount of programming to get this done, and they do some stuff that even Adobe hasn't picked up on.
Brilliant. They're, I mean, they're 25 and 35 quid, one at 59 quid if you want Vector Scribe. But I mean, if you're in, if you use it a lot, then that's not horrific money.
No, not at all. And I mean, most people who use Illustrator are using it for their, I like to use this word now, clientele. So you're just bill it to a client.
Do you get the upgrades?
Life.
For life, yeah. As I was going to say, because a lot of these plugins, there's not many that stop working. A lot of them will guarantee an upgrade to
especially new with the way Adobe's twerking with Illustrator on a constant basis, right? Like, they're forever moving Illustrator's needle. So if you drop 59 pounds on VectorScribe, which is probably the one you need the most, the rest of them are just kind of add to things. It's pretty amazing. But just to get you started, there is a bunch of free stuff that they have, just to give you an idea of the type of stuff that they can do. And you just subscribe to a, you know, their mailing list, and they give you a bunch of nice plugins for free that just do some great things, like help you with measuring, something I use religiously as a laser engraver, you know. I just click 2 points. It tells me how long this piece really is versus what it looks like on the screen, because that can really screw you up. And like, I think to myself, why doesn't Adobe have a built-in ruler? You know, for dimensioning is, I guess, the better terminology. But yeah, give these guys a look, and you and I would love to contact them about doing something. You know, like a full nice write-up for the site.
Yeah,
so since they're in the UK, I can probably say, hey, I'm going to rank this thing for BTN. Can you help out?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so definitely. I'll talk to you after about how to approach that.
We've had some reviews. Thank you to everyone who bothers to leave a review. We do appreciate it. If you're going to leave a review, just go ahead and leave it. It's fine. If you don't like the show, that's okay. You're welcome to say that. At least feel like you're reviewing the whole lot, though. Don't review one episode or one comment in one episode and say that that's what BTN's all about. And stay away from the personal insults, eh? Because, you know, I can't improve the show just by you calling me a name. Sorry. We've had one here from Craig Wright. Thank you, Craig. I think I found you on Twitter. As another reviewer commented, the host has a bit of a David Brent about him. Big ego, swears because he thinks it makes him look cool. That said, most of the guests are very good and make this podcast well worth listening to. And then he's gone on to a rant about greening, which is just personal. I'm not reading it out because it proves what a tosser you are, mate. BTN is clearly not doing this for the money, though, which is a credit to them. And the host, if the host shuts up and lets more informed guests do some of the talking, it might be a pretty good listen. 3 stars. Thanks, pal. If you don't know me, then don't tell me what I am, pal. And a nice one to finish from Dwayne. Dwayne Fonseca, our man in Brazil. And he's put, this has always been an excellent Mac podcast. I've been following BTN shows for a number of years. To make it better, a brand new studio has been set up. Live streaming is fast, and the podcast has significantly better sound quality. Thank you very much, mate. If you'd like to leave us a review, go ahead. Go into iTunes, put it in. We've got a fantastic new piece of software called the Reviewerlator that Awaitus has written on the back end of our server, which brings them all in and puts the country code on it. And it's magic. Absolutely magic. Cheers, Waiters. Thanks for that. A few comments in the chat room about Craig. Thanks, Craig. Yes. You know you are. Right then. Mark, tell us what your cool thing is.
My cool thing is, we were talking about the fitness usage of the Apple Watch. It's a bit of a combination of things, really. I recently got the Beats, Power Beats 2. people, everything I've read in the past have been really critical about the sound quality of Beats headphones, but I think they're great. I had
they're a bit bassy.
Yeah, well, I have to say the Power Beats 2, I'm not getting it. It's just to my taste. I had previously the J-Birds, Blue Buds X, and they just wouldn't stay in, even with different ear tips. So I highly recommend those if you're out running. And also, Spotify, the running component, you get a playlist, and it matches the playlist to your stride, which is really cool and motivational. The problem is you need data, and if you're running a nice place, then you may not be able to get mobile data. It doesn't work. So what I worked out was is to record it in the Mac, set a BPM, put it through, record it, and then if I ever want to speed it up or slow it down, I can send it through into one of Doc's old picks, DJ2. And then you can just adjust the tempo up and down, and you don't get the chipmunk effect. It'll sort out that. It's amazing.
Oh, awesome. So it'll speed it up and slow it down, but without changing the pitch. There's a few apps that do that. Good pick, mate. Like that. We'll stick a link in the chat room. If you're sitting driving along and you're thinking, oh, I'm driving, how am I going to pick that? I'll forget what the bloody thing is by the time I get home. Don't worry. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can go to the day when we record the show. So today is Friday the 4th of December. Click on 4th of December and you will get a complete transcript of everything that is in the chat room. There you go. All the links to all the stories, to all the cool things that the guests have picked and that kind of stuff. It's brilliant. Thank you to Anders for setting the chatbot up. He's done a pile of stuff in the back end as well that makes our server really hum now. It's superb. So thanks to him. My cool thing is, and I'm going to try this. This is a first for me. Here we go. This is my iPad Pro linked to desktop presenter, and it's worked. Good God. Mine is one down here, Notes Plus. And Notes Plus, I bought it last week after we talked about it on the show. It's $4.99 and it's absolutely brilliant. And we were talking about doing if you want to do like text to written text, so you know, your written text to an ASCII text or something like that. And I thought this would be okay. I'll give it a go and see what it's like. But it really is an absolutely brilliant application. So I'm writing on the screen here. This is Notes app or Notes Plus app. So I've made a mistake there. What I want to do is cross out and redo apps. So instead of trying to do a back button or undo, all I do is scribble on it and it disappears. It's absolutely brilliant. So I now put plus in, which is what I wanted to say, and then there we go, there's my Notes Plus app. And I've written it, and I get the whole sheet, and I can scroll up and down the sheet as much as I want. I can add stuff to it, go to different pages, it'll print it out, it'll send it to other apps, and it's absolutely wonderful. But you're sitting thinking, oh, actually, I'd like to send that in an email, and I'm not going to send me handwritten stuff in an email, I want it to be typed up. So what you do is you draw around it, and then check a tick button that's there. Oh, come on, you bugger. Draw around it, there's a tick button that pops up, you click that, and then you select from here and it says convert to text, and you click on that, and there you go. Now it's made a mistake, that's not too bad, so I can get rid of that and do it again if you really want. The Notes Plus, it's actually a really, really good application for that. Just draw around it and then hit the tick, change it to text, and it's cocked up plus against my handwriting, but it's performed. I thought it was going to do it flawlessly. It's typical because it's on the show, but Paul Wheatley wrote a note with it this morning and it was absolutely brilliant, and it even picks up my scrawl. It's superb. The Notes Plus app, $4.99 in the App Store, and it's great. And there's loads of drawing tools as well that you can use with it, and it's compatible with the pen, and it's just well worth the money. Well worth the money if you want it. Love it to bits. Where can we get a hold of you, chaps? Doc?
You can find me here twice a week on the British Tech Network, hanging out with you folks, and anywhere on the Instawebs at DOCROCK.
Good man. And where are you, Mark?
I be Smark Colshaw on Twitter.
Excellent, mate. If you're wondering where's the review of the Hoyer glasses, because of course Mark works for Hoyer, it'll be going up this weekend. And they've been great. I've had them now for 6 months and I love them. I absolutely adore them. So you won't be a bad review, mate, don't worry. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and I'll be back again next week. We've got Big Show and Mac Show as normal, and then we've got the Big Show and Mac Show the week after that, and then it's Christmas. Isn't it flying?
It's beginning to look a lot like.
It's looking an awful lot like Christmas. Thanks for listening. See you next week.